All right, yes, we're still in John. And we're still in what is called Jesus' farewell discourse. By this point, Jesus' time face to face with the disciples is coming to a close, and there is so much he needs to say. It can definitely feel a little bit like that movie character that's been shot and you know is going to die, but has a monologue that keeps going and going and going. Or like the old man from Monty Python's Holy Grail. You know, the guy in the village struck by the plague who keeps saying, "Not dead yet!" Today, we just don't seem to have the patience for closing words, no matter how important they are. We ask people to just get on with it. Make your point and shut up. But when we don't pause to listen carefully, we miss some really critical messages in the process. So why is it possible to miss the point in this passage? Well, in part, it's because on the surface it appears to be a conversation between the Son and the Father. And we tend not to like to butt in to what we perceive as a private conversation. But listen more carefully. There's a message very clearly intended for us to hear. "Now I'm coming to you, and I say these things while I'm in the world so that they can share completely in my joy." So that we can share in Jesus' joy. We are absolutely invited into Jesus' prayer and to be active participants, not just bystanders. Author David Losey refers to this prayer from Jesus as the other Lord's Prayer. The idea is that the first version, the one we recite each week in worship, well, Jesus taught that to disciples and therefore to us to teach us how to pray. But here, Jesus actually prays for us. Through prayer, Jesus is making some requests of God and their relevance, especially today on Mother's Day, is not lost on me. Think about it. There are so many parallels between how a mother acts and what Jesus is asking of God. And this prayer could very well be themed a mother's prayer, given how much it gets to the heart of all a mother asks in life. "Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one just as we are one." A prayer of protection. More than anything else, a mother looks to protect her children. She cares for them when they're sick. She makes sure they're wearing clothes that keep them safe from rain or snow or wind or cold. She stands up for them when challenges arise in school and when the neighborhood bully tries to pick on them. Now Jesus is asking God to be our protection. And we should take joy in that. Because can there be any safety greater than that offered by God? This led to the natural next prayer about what to be protected from. "None of them were lost except the one who is destined for destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. And I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one." So this isn't just your run-of-the-mill ask to keep us healthy and avoid injury. This is Jesus' request that God shield us from the one who would lead us down the wrong path, making choices that are self-destructive. And moms? Well, they work hard at that too, don't they? They try as hard as they can to pass on knowledge that they've gained, to share what is likely to happen if their children make a poor choice, and to help them see the happiness they can have if they look away from the evil one. Jesus also asks for this care and attention to be something more than just your average comfort. "Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Just a few words, but some of the most powerful in this entire prayer. That God honor the promises made, and that in our following of God's word, we be embraced as part of a larger whole. That we be acknowledged as God's children. But more importantly, that we be welcomed into the kingdom of God, giving us hope and the promise of a better future. So Jesus reflects on the what, protection, and the from whom, the evil one, and the with whom, the family of God. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus adds the why. For what purpose is our protection and support sought? Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one just as we are one. And I made myself holy on their behalf so that they also would be made holy in the truth. More than anything else. Moms want this too, don't they? Often all they ask is that their children be welcomed as part of a larger family. That any discourse there might be between family members be set aside, because life is too short to spend it bickering with each other. Family is everything. When do we see a mother in the greatest pain? When one of her children is rejected for any reason by anyone, instead of embraced and welcomed. There's a bit of a shift in this part, though. Note that the request for protection and honored promises or prayers looking for something from God to us. But this last piece, the part where we are welcomed as one, is where something is asked of us as well. This is where Mom would sit down with us and tell us that just as much as they are asking others to accept us, we need to show love and grace to them as well. This is where we are called, just as the disciples were, to be made holy in the truth. And what does that mean, to be made holy in the truth? That means as Christians, we are called to live our lives in the truth that Jesus shared. And this isn't easy. We need to live lives of service where the needs of others are placed ahead of our own. Sound familiar, moms? How many times have you set aside what you want so that your children could have what they wanted instead? This is the model we all need to follow if we are to be made holy in the truth. It means that as Christians, we need to value love more than power. Especially in recent times, this focus seems to be in very short supply. An era of nationalism, protectionism, and us first has rapidly grown, pushing love and compassion to the side. Power is seen as strength, and love is seen as weakness. Yet Christ modeled and taught the exact opposite. There's no way to reconcile our Christianity with a life focused on forcing our will on others. Mom would constantly and consistently teach that we need to show acceptance and love for others no matter what. In the battle between light and dark, light only wins when it's our focus. This is the model we all need to follow if we are to be made holy in the truth. It means that as Christians, we must forgive. We need to release the right fighter attitude. We need to be ready with the right answer to the question asked so often by Dr. Phil McGraw, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Moms do this all the time. They set aside their indignation and look for the common ground so that peace can win out. Are we all looking for the common ground? This is the model we all need to follow if we are to be made holy in the truth. Jesus prayed for the disciples and us not because of our sanctity, but because of our worthiness of forgiveness and acceptance. The only path for us to receive the blessings and joy of Jesus' prayer is to be guided by that prayer, to heed its message and do our part, to continue each day to listen and follow through on our call. We need to embrace the wisdom of our mothers, to serve others, to love each other, to forgive all, to embrace the message we share at the start of every service, that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. To seek those who need God's grace and love in their lives, to encourage them with words of support and hope, to love them as Christ loves us, and to share the word of God, which offers so much promise for a bright future. To be a mother to all we encounter, here, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities. This is the model we all need to follow if we are to be made holy in the truth. May it be forever so. Amen.